Hello and welcome everybody to the Uncovered podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me, as always, is Jared Kimber, who you can find literally everywhere. And this particular Uncovered podcast will revolve around IPL retention rules and the consequences of those rules. We won't be deep diving into every team per se. That would like be a feature film as opposed to a podcast. But we will be talking about major themes and how those rules have impacted certain teams. And Jared, I mean, six retentions, including that RTM option. Sure, they have an increased, wallet this time. It's a 20 crore bump, right? And I mean, more money is always good, but six retentions seems a bit less to me.
Yeah, I think, from what I heard from the outside anyway, there were some owners who were obviously very good, who decided that they wanted more retentions. Hmm. And there are other owners who wanted less or fewer retentions and decided to put themselves in a situation where they would be able to do that. But realistically, it's like, if your team's not very good, I'm not sure this helps you all that much anyway, being able to do that. And we're too far into this league now to still be doing six retentions. It's a ridiculously small amount. And I don't think it's helping the league at the moment.
Yeah, so you said that some owners weren't particularly keen on more retentions. I'm assuming those would be the owners of teams which haven't qualified for the playoffs and, are struggling.
Yeah, the shit ones.
Yeah.
The shit ones.
I mean,
it's weird because I've heard that Punjab was one of the teams that wanted fewer, right? Mm. Which is fine. I get that. But when you look at it, you have a situation where it's like, wait a minute, you actually have a good young core. Mm-hmm. You might have been better off keeping like a bunch of extra Indian younger players and then and putting a bunch of stars around them. So I don't see how this helps them again. But I just, if a team's bad, usually they want more randomness. Hmm. And if a team's good, they usually want less randomness, right? Like, yeah. And it's like, that's not how these things always go. And I think some of it is a problem with the issue overall of the way that the league is set up. It's got some major issues with the auction and everything else that are hard to get over. But when it comes down to it, what's the point of starting up a really good IPL team and getting a bunch of young Indian players if in 3 years' time you can't keep most of them? Like, it doesn't make any sense at all, right?
We'll come to like the younger players, of course, because there's an uncapped rule as well, which is very fascinating. Mm-hmm. But the one very obvious, repercussion that we've seen as a result of less retentions is that so many teams have opted not to retain their captains. Like Rishabh Pant is probably the premier example over here, right? But then you've got the IPL winning captain from 2024, Shreyas Iyer, an aging Faf du Plessis who has done well in other leagues across the globe. And the more obvious ones in KL Rahul and Shikhar Dhawan. But surely this wouldn't have been an issue to begin with if more retentions were allowed.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake in the system, right? If you can't keep your captain, like that just tells you that the entire system doesn't make any sense, because it means that you're forced to go after players generally who are between the ages of what, 27 and 30, because you need players who are near their peaks. Because if you don't get a player near their peak, then in 3 years' time, you're going to be in a tricky position anyway, whether you're going to be able to keep them or not. So it just, to me, it's a huge flaw in the system if you can't keep your captain. Hmm. It's a huge flaw in the system if you can't keep 10 players. If Punjab looked at their list and still wanted to get rid of everyone, I'd be like, okay, that's fair enough. That's they're starting again and they're happy to do that. But you shouldn't be kind of made to do that by the structure of this of the system. And if you look at the system, it's essentially set up in a way that doesn't make any sense. Like, yeah. There's no reason for it to be just six retentions. There's no reason for them to be two uncapped players. There's not an age limit on any of these players or anything like that. And then if you're going to have a stupid system like this, you should probably have a senior player exception.
Yes.
Right? Which would be, so the whole MS Dhoni rule is stupid, obviously. But Virat Kohli and Rohit Sharma are still both playing, right? And they are taking up huge amounts of the retention situation. And when we don't know if in 3 years' time they'll still be playing and at what level they'll be playing at, right? So why don't you give one senior player the opportunity to have them outside of the retention window if you're going to do it? But all of it comes down to the fact that the retentions just don't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And it's very arbitrary and it's just too small.
Yeah. Now those Rishabh Pant tweets that we were all seeing in the months leading up to, you know, this news, they make a lot more sense now, don't they? But, you know, I 100% agree. If you're not allowing a lot of retentions, just six, then, you know, teams will have to reset. Rajasthan Royals is a premier example of this. Like, this was a team that was almost built to win the IPL next season, right? They had all the goods. Sure, they had, like, a plethora of bowlers and, you know, the balance was a bit off, but they'd been doing well. And now they only get to retain six. And from what I recall, only Sandeep Sharma amongst the bowlers has made it, right? Joss Butler didn't even make it to the retention list. So this drastically impacts teams. And if I am an IPL owner and my team is doing well, I am not incentivized over here.
And that's, I think that's the issue for me at the moment. What incentivizes you to build long-term and develop younger players if this is the situation? So remember years ago, Travis Head was at RCB and they had him and he came in and they tried to fix him playing spin. And he came back the next year and he wasn't playing spin very well. And they were just like, we're not worried with Travis Head. Now look at Travis Head, right? So RCB have lost out on that because of the mega auction situation where they didn't want to spend 3 or 4 years to develop, you know, the him or Dylan Brevis or anything. So development, isn't that what we want? We want the league to make players better? Like, otherwise, isn't it just a crap shopping tournament? Like, I don't understand the point of it otherwise. And so you're right. Rajasthan and Sunrisers are two perfect examples of teams who probably should have won a title in the last cycle, right? Yeah. But that's not how it works, right? In T20 cricket, it can be very unlucky and sometimes you just don't win the title. Now, we get a situation where this happens again, and Delhi is the best situation of this from the previous cycle, where they actually did everything right. They identified a bunch of younger Indian players. They developed them. They got them all good. They didn't quite get over the line and win a title. And then they had to start again and it all fell apart at the auction, right? Like, that isn't, I don't understand why anyone would want that as a system. Surely you want to benefit the teams that are good at drafting and developing and all those other skills rather than just the luck of an auction.
It just takes team building out of the equation entirely. Like, you get to keep a core of six players, and then I don't even get me started on the uncapped rule, right? And I want to delay that a bit just because, you know, let's rewind the clock to when we were covering the IPL. And you and I obviously had thorough breakdowns of every team. And when we spoke about teams like Punjab and Delhi, we would be like, okay, you know, maybe next year. They're building towards something solid and, you know, potentially they could make the playoffs in 2025. That's gone. All of that is moot. And I just feel like, you know, maybe there's an element of hyping up the auction itself over here and making that more grand and, you know, marketing it, making money around it. Maybe there's a bit of that.
Yeah. I would probably just move to a draft now. I think I've talked about this before. I would have two drafts. I would have a senior draft and a new player draft. And then I would have, and any player who had more than, I don't know, 50 games in the IPL would be eligible for to freelance and play for whoever they want and you know, sign contracts as they wish, because by that stage they've earned it. They're obviously not going that way. They like the auction and that's fine. It isn't that I don't like the auction. I think you can actually make the auction more exciting than they currently do. But the auction has a sense of randomness in it and a sense of silliness in it. And when it comes down to it, I think the best thing are usually, it's not the story of this player went for this much money. It's actually the players who get overlooked in the auction that we end up getting the most excited about, right? Like the players who don't get paid for anything and then end up being really good. Or the other issue with the auction is that, you get a player who gets paid too much money, which isn't his fault. And then that player gets blamed for that and it has nothing to do with that player being involved with it or not, right? Like, they've just been paid that kind of money because there was a bidding war, or there was two teams who had a massive hole in their side. And it's like, it's not an efficient way of doing this. I think two drafts and free agency means that we're talking about the IPL for longer.
Yeah,
the auction actually isn't that big a thing. Like, it's a really big thing for about 3 or 4 days. You could actually make it huge if you have two different drafts over a week and then you have free agency. So we're talking about these changes all the way through. So it doesn't make any sense. Because if you're picked up at an auction now and you're, let's say you're a 9-year overseas player, right? And you've been let go by your team and you're picked up by an auction now and they say, oh, we picked you up to be an opener. And you're like, well, I'm not an opener. About number six. There's not much you could do, right? Yeah. You might just fail that next year because you're batting in the wrong position. And it's like, well, how Whereas if it's free agency and two offers come into that player can pick the one that suits them best. Like, I don't understand it. And to go back to your point from before, what kind of a system do we have when Rajasthan can't keep Josh Butler?
Yeah.
How is that a good system? It's just obviously flawed.
Inherently flawed, I would say. But, you know, your draft idea, I would take it one step further. I would have a young Indian players draft, senior Indian player draft. And then I would also, you know, kind of mirror that same thing for foreign players. And then Jimmy Anderson would make the senior player draft, right? He's thrown himself in there because his test journey is over. And it is quite remarkable, right? Someone who literally shat on limited overs cricket for the last good part of last decade, I would say, now wants to play the IPL. But money.
Well, to be fair, I don't think he shat on it. He didn't even want to retire from it, did he? So I don't think it's fair to say he shat on it.
Well, the ECB made him shit on it. And
yeah,
well,
here that we are. Is true. Where
he's thrown himself in the auction list. Anyway, shout out to all the people who are in the comment section over here. King Bapi, AK47, Abdul TS, Genius Genie, Super Devil, Vinay Minocha, Abdullah, and Krunk. Super Devil's also there. Sorry if I missed anyone's names. And now, let us come to the uncapped player rule, or the MS Dhoni player rule, right? Because it states that a capped player who has, you know, featured for India before, if that player hasn't featured for India in the last 5 calendar years, hasn't been part of any playing 11, or isn't contracted by the BCCI, they can then be considered as an uncapped player. Now, this has basically allowed CSK to snap up MS Dhoni as an uncapped player. And I wonder how they came up with that arbitrary number of 5 years, right?
And look, there's an element of this that it kind of makes sense from the point of view of what I've just said before. There should be a senior player exception. Hmm. So, I mean, Rohit and Virat should be on the same exception, right? There should be one player that you can just retain sort of outside the rest of the system. And it's up to you how much you want to pay them and how you agree to terms with them. But so you don't lose your captains and everything else, right? You don't lose Josh Butler and you don't lose your captains. And, you know, that is a perfectly fine way of doing it. But to do a rule which is just for MS Dhoni, right? And it's silly. It makes the league look stupid, right? It makes it look desperate for MS Dhoni, which it doesn't need MS Dhoni to survive. Like, it will provide other stars. I know MS Dhoni's huge and people cheer for him. You know, the people used to do that for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and then other stars came in, right? Like, Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, no one could see anything bigger than them in the NBA. And Michael Jordan comes on the back of them. Kobe Bryant, LeBron James. Like, if you build your league properly, you don't have to do that sort of stuff. So it makes the IPL look desperate. But also, it's pointing out that there's a mistake here.
Yeah.
It's pointing out that there is a mistake within the system to begin with. And so I'd be much more interested in fixing that mistake. But yeah, it just looks like they're desperate. You know when you do something with your friends and you're playing backyard cricket with your friends and you make a rule that just sort of suits you. Everyone knows why you've done it.
What's worse is that each team can only retain 2 uncapped players, right? That's the stipulation. And you mentioned
so
Punjab
now a young
earlier.
Player can't be picked up.
You mentioned Punjab earlier, and I was thinking about Ashutosh Rana, and I was like, hey, why isn't that guy over here? Like, he should definitely be retained. And I even posted this in the Good Areas chat, and they said, oh, because they already have 2 uncapped players. One of them is the real Shashank Singh, not the real fake Shashank Singh anymore. And I can't quite remember who the other one. Prabh Simran was the other guy.
Yes.
So yeah, they get to miss out on someone who was turning out to be one hell of a finisher for Punjab. And if I was a Punjab fan or a KKR fan even, right, I would be very, very perturbed that my team is going to go to shit now.
Well, let's go back to Punjab. I think Punjab's the most interesting side in all of this because their roster was set up in a way where they had no very good players, right? But they had 6, 7, maybe even 8 young Indian players who didn't need to be overpaid, but were all good, right? Maybe some of them are role players. Maybe some of them are backups rather than stars. But that's a really good core. You put 4 great overseas players on top of that, and you're suddenly like, okay, in the next 2 or 3 years, maybe we can do something here, right?
And Jared, like, just to they stop you over there, if you are team building, like if you are part of a setup, you want a very strong local core that you can invest in the future, right? That's what you do when you're team building. You are looking towards the future. You're looking at longevity. And they've completely taken that out of the picture.
As a cricket journalist, I would travel up to 200 days a year. And I loved every part of it, except for one. This little
evil pin here, because I needed this to change my SIM card. And when you travel in cricket, you're quite often going from country to country. Don't get me started on how much this would annoy me in the West Indies, but even going from New Zealand to Australia, this pin was the worst. Well, with the Sally eSIM, they sort all of that out for you. They have an eSIM app that you install once, it's cheap, and it works in more than 160 countries around the world. No more turning up at an airport and lining up for a local SIM, trying to give over your passport and your details, and you just want to get in a taxi and go where you're going. No, Sally make it so much easier. You just download the app before you travel and you decide what kind of plan you actually need. Oh, and if you do that with our code, GOODAREAS, or one word, you get an exclusive 15% discount on Sally eSIM data plans. So go right now and download the Sally app and use the code GOODAREAS, or one word, at checkout and travel like a pro with Sally.
So then you're in this situation where they can't actually build on this, right? Because of that situation that we are talking about. So what is the point of that? Why can't they keep all six players? And you might be like, well, they can sign them, but then they have to overpay them. So it's a system that is so Punjab and some of the other teams that have been struggling wanted fewer players retained, right? But if you actually looked at it, it's still set up for the better teams to prosper, because if you have four good players that you can re-sign, you're in a much better situation than you are if you're Punjab. Whereas actually, if it wasn't two uncapped players and you took that off and you allowed yourselves to sign six capped players or six uncapped players, right? Punjab suddenly swings back around and you're like, now they've got that good core that you're talking about. So it doesn't make any sense to be able to do that. And I just, someone random put a comment up here going, I disagree. Butler is being kept out because they see Sampson as an opener now. Besides, Butler has injury and form issues. The point isn't that he doesn't have those things, because I think I talk about that in the video, random. The point is, you don't let go of a player of Josh Butler's talent, right? Like, no, there's no other professional sporting league in the world that is letting him go. They might trade him.
Yeah.
They might sell him. They might do whatever different sports do. They have just lost Josh Butler, right?
Why aren't
because
we there yet?
Because there's no provision. Hey?
Like in a world where you just get to trade players or, you know, sign them up, like in football, right? Like, yep. I feel like that's where this market should head, and that will only make this league more competitive. I mean, it just baffles me.
All the trades in the IPL have been absolutely... I think I've gone through every single trade in the IPL history, and I don't think there's ever been one balanced trade. Like, they are absolute shit show, the trades. I think some of that is not having draft capital. I think being able to throw draft capital throws the trades and makes trades look a little bit more balanced. And because it's an auction, do you get a bigger paddle? I don't know how that would work. So I think that there's an issue with that sort of stuff as well. But yeah, it's just not part of cricket culture at the moment. You look around the leagues in the world, no one does really good trades in any T20 franchises at the moment. So I think that's another issue, but also the lack of the sort of free agency and having to re-sign people and put them onto longer contracts and everything else means that you're not swapping contracts as often in these leagues, because it's only a three-year contract. Whereas, you know, maybe in another league, you might have a 4-5, even a 6-year contract. In baseball, they're like 10-year contracts, aren't they? Yeah. So you're trading the contract as much as you're trading the player.
Yep.
Whereas in this case, it doesn't really work.
What happens.
Dahl has put in a super chat, by the way. Sorry. Dahl has put a super chat in, but I don't understand it. So Dahl, you might just have to re-explain that.
He says, how do you account for people wanting more money? You have players on 20 lakh who would obviously see a jump in value.
Do you understand what he means by that?
No.
No, Dahl, you might just need to re-explain that. And Varun, you might need to flag it back up for us.
Yeah, I don't get that one. But, you know, when it comes to retentions, obviously we both agree that six aren't enough. But what would be that golden number for you? Maybe around 10, so that you can build your core and retain your core more importantly. And also, you know, if you've already retained 10 players, then you just need to kind of plug a few holes. Over here, you need to kind of build a new team.
Yeah, I think 10 was the number I was talking about. We'd have to go back to our group chats, but I think 10 was the number I kept bringing up pretty regularly. I think it's still a developing league, so I don't want to be in a situation where I was like...
Yeah, so Dahl says, basically, let's say a team buys someone for a base price and he does well, he'd expect a price bump. How do you do that if there isn't an auction? I mean, so this is how it happens.
You tell football and then I'll tell American
sports. Exactly. So I just want to give a football comparison because it kind of makes sense. Jared was talking about trading contracts before. That's essentially what they're doing. They're looking at a player with respect to the length of the contract. So let's say Mohamed Salah, currently, he's in his last year, right? He is... 32 will be 33 at the end of the season. Liverpool probably do not want to pay a lot of money to someone who is 33, but it's a star of Mo Salah's caliber. So this is a tricky situation. So one thing they could do is that they could sign him on a two-year deal. And then after 1 year, if he's doing well or not, they could potentially sell him for more. So you want to sign players on intentionally on longer contracts so that, you know, midway or, you know, when 75% of the contract is over, you can still get good value for money. And I feel like that system just works.
But to explain the Dahl situation. So let's say a young player comes into the IPL and they have 2 good years. What you actually can do is you just re-sign them for more money. Mm. So at the end of that 2-year contract, they are essentially, we kind of have free agency in the IPL, but not quite, you know, a traditional model. So at the end of that 2-year contract, let's say they've gone for like, what's he said here? 20 lakh, right? So they've gone for 20 lakh over 2 years.
Nice pronunciation.
And them and their agent.
Damn. Did you just say lakh? Holy shit.
I have to get something.
Is this written on the board in front of you where you've written Cheyenne's name as Shy Arn?
Yeah. I've got lots of names on my board. I think your name was probably here at one stage. I still get it. So essentially he comes in at the end of that, he can renegotiate his contract because he's there. So if you want to sign him on, all these players who are being re-signed at the moment, Dahl, are not being re-signed in the auction, and yet most of them are getting pay jumps. So there's a way of getting a pay jump there. And the way it works in say like a league like the NBA is you can have a sign and trade where you can be signed for a longer contract and then traded within that contract. Or you can go to another team. They don't have an auction, you just go to another team as free agency and you still get your money. So one way or another, players are still going to get their money. The auction doesn't help there in any way.
And that's where player agents come in, at least in football they do. And the good ones, you know, towards the end of your contract, they'll get you a good deal. They'll find you those deals, right? And these things are constantly playing over the minds of both club and player. In the IPL, it's just randomized to the point that, okay, we'll have a few seasons and then bam, start from scratch. And I just feel like for the overall health of the league, you know, as teams moving forward who want to potentially achieve something in seasons which are, you know, yet to come, it basically kills that entire thing off.
Yeah. And I'd go a step further as well. So the idea, people will say to me, oh, mega auction's great because, you know, it keeps the league balanced. What did you say there was before 17 editions of the IPL? Is that what we're up to?
Yes,
that sounds
it was
right,
17.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, we've had 17 full editions. So we'll be heading into the 18th one.
And 3 teams have won 14 times. Am I right in saying that?
Yes, you are.
Right? And if you go in the last 15 editions, it's even more than that, right? So the idea that this is working, it isn't, right? Yeah. There is no parity here. And so I would personally, and I say this as a cricket fan, you know, what I want to see is younger players doing really well and developed over time and giving more of a role and doing that. If you have a system where we have it at the moment where you don't have that available to you, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. So you're not helping developing younger players, and Josh Butler is going, and you have to make a special rule for MS Dhoni and Virat Kohli and Virat Kohli and Rohit Sharma are causing you issues on the other end. It's not a good system.
Yeah.
Right? It's not protecting legends. It's not protecting young players. It's not helping with player development, right? And it's random.
Yeah.
And yet it's not random enough for us to have multiple different teams winning championships, right? So for me, it doesn't work in any way as it's designed.
Dahl Khichri has countered over here saying comparing Premier League is not apple to apple. Of course it's not. That's a league. It runs completely differently.
Is.
Yeah, we were basically making a comparison just to show you how things could be. So over here, you've said that you need to fit everything in 120 crore. Why? Right? Take it away.
But Dahl, there's two things here. One is, you said compare it with the Premier League is not apple to apples, but I compared it to the NBA, which does have a salary cap, right? But secondly, very important to note that IPL players do not get paid what you see on the tin. Who was it who took a pay cut this time? In one of the players took a pay cut, and I promise you that player is not getting what it is suggested that they are getting paid. Most stars in the IPL get paid in other ways. The salary cap is a complete joke, but it is something that you have to manage publicly, and you still have to manage within the rules. But I can promise you that now, that the salary cap is not, and it's not enforced in the way it is in, say, American sports.
Was it Rohit who took a bit of a pay? Not hype,
I don't know if it was him I was thinking of. Yeah. So what's Rohit? Whatever Rohit's salary is, I can promise everyone that that is not what he is being paid, right? I'm not singling him out because it's right across the board and it's all the top players. Several top players have told me this before. Several people involved in management and coaches and everything else have told me this before. I would say it's the, you know, it's the worst kept secret in the IPL that players actually get what their budget line is. That we're talking about the star players. We're not talking about the lower end players. But once you get to that star level, you, was it a couple of years ago when Kieran Pollard like took a huge pay cut? Like, yeah, I'm sure Mumbai just stopped paying Kieran Pollard. Like, it's just, it's not a realistic thing to believe that, is it? Right. So, no, that it isn't quite that case. But regardless of that, as I said before, there are ways around doing all this. What we're talking about is not the individual players. What we're talking about is the system as it currently stands. And being, if you can't keep star players and you can't keep all your younger players, what are we doing here?
It just seems a bit ludicrous, right? Like, because teams which have Virat Kohli and Rohit Sharma, as you mentioned, and RCB is an example of this. You spend mad money on retaining those players because they give you a lot in terms of like marketability and also they're class players. There's no doubting that. But they're also towards the twilight of their careers. So does it make sense to give them those long contracts and that money, right? That's where this gets tricky. And sometimes, you know, reputation does help in these things. But when you're in football, it doesn't. That was my only point when I was comparing this entire thing, right? Ronaldo was let go of Real Madrid because they were like, oh, we're getting 100 mil for him right now. Let's do that. Right.
Exactly. Hmm. Exactly. And that's kind of what we're talking about. And I think a genius said this. Genius?
Yeah. Genius genie.
Said genie. Yeah. Sorry. Is this a sign that the IPL needs to become 6 months long? And that is part of the problem of it, which is that it's such a short league. It's not very mature. And it's not just the IPL, genius. If you have a look at T20 cricket in general, I think that's part of the problems with the trades and the and everything. Like when I was a general manager in St. Lucia, like you would call people up and they would just be doing another job. Right. So you'd be like, oh, I want to talk about this player. And they'd be like, what? What are you talking about? No, I'll talk to you in 4 months' time. And I was like, I can't wait 4 months. I need to know what I'm doing now. Yeah. But that's the way a lot of those leagues work. And it's the same with the IPL. IPL is on a much higher level than the CPL, but it actually works on a similar level. So it's really, really hard to get these deals through.
Yeah. Also, genius genie. I hope your name is Eugene, because then that name would be quite genius. But I've been arguing this for a while that the IPL should just move to a 6 month format, just so that, you know, if you have Mitch Stark and he needs to play a test series, then that's Mitch Stark's decision now, if he wants to stick around in the IPL or play that test series. And you open up the calendar in a way, right? Right now it's clogged. If you make leagues into like the franchise T20 leagues into proper leagues, which run like half a year, then a lot of this is solved.
Yeah, I hate the idea of splitting the IPL into two different tournaments. I hate the idea of having a 2 month tournament and then a 1 month tournament. And I say this as a cricket fan, not as a someone who cares about the leagues and or anything.
Finish your thought.
Yeah, just from a point, like what league in the world, like imagine the Premier League or the NBA going, do you know what would be better is if we snap this in half and we have half in this point and half in another. Like I think, again, it goes back to development, coaching, development, analysis, development, player development, whatever, you know, brand development, right? If you have a longer league, the problem with going 6 months at the moment is they've been so nervous about expanding the length of this tournament for so long that they've kind of got themselves a bit stuck. And now they probably need to go to 3 or 4 months. And they, you know, they haven't even had the, you know, the ability to do that, but it does keep us in this sort of semi-pro kind of situation. I meant to ask you, what do you think of Right to Match? What's your feeling on Right to Match?
Right to Match, and correct me if I'm wrong over here, because there's a quirk in this, right? From my understanding, and Ari actually explained this to me, is that let's suppose you have an RTM option on a player and someone bids like X amount of crores, like let's just say 7 crores on that player. You can throw in your RTM, but then that other team that had the highest bid would get an option to up their bid. That's my understanding of it. And then the right to match owner, you could suppose call it the owner or whatever, they then get the option to match that increased salary or not. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, more or less.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you have to bid your first time. I think if the other team bids on that player, you can play your right to match card after. I don't think you have to make that first bid. But to be honest, I was reading the conditions for so long. They're not written completely plainly. So I was a bit confused about that. But I started looking less at the right to match when I realized there are a lot of teams that weren't going to be worrying about it at all because they'd already overcommitted to their original draft as well.
Yeah, but like if you are a team which does have a right to match on a player and then someone bids for that player, sure, you can throw in your RTM option. But I like the fact that that other team, which had originally bid that money, does get another bite of the cherry, right? They could maybe double that number and then say, okay, do you still want a right to match? That sort of situation. I think that definitely adds to the excitement. Andy.
Yeah, as long as you're not in a situation where the player is losing out on right to match, which I don't think they are at the moment, but I would have to go back and check those regulations again. I don't have any issue with it. I think it's an interesting extra thing to be able to do. It's not the way I would do it, but I mean, there's really no, I kind of think that's what free agency is. If you want to buy that player, you should pay one more dollar than the other team is paying.
Fair enough. Andy has a super chat and he says, I'd bat for the mega auction because teams like Mumbai Indians will pay players under the table and get them for under cap value, which will reduce parity. Like, I suppose you're saying that from a Mumbai Indians perspective. I can't.
I don't know I don't know if Andy's been following. I just said this is already happening.
Yes.
Right. So the first part he's worried about is they'll pay players under the table. Already happening. Right. So any IPL fans are like, oh, I'm not sure. It's happening. I can promise you that.
And not I've just the in the IPL. Not just in the IPL. This happens all over.
It happens in... Big Bash was one of the first leagues to do this as well. So it's right across. Bayram is right. And there are also weird loopholes. I remember when I was in the CPL reading the things and it was like, oh, so I can pay my player $100,000 publicity fee for the off season. And they were like, yeah. And I said, but that doesn't come out of my salary cap. They go, no, of course not.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So I'm going to pay that guy $15,000 on the books and I'm going to pay him $85,000 off the books to be my publicity officer. And I'm going to bring him to St. Lucia for a weekend at one stage and he's going to throw some balls at some kids and I'm going to say publicity done.
Yeah,
right. And now my team is completely stacked.
Absolutely. And you know, Ravi Shastri first floated the idea or the statement actually that cricket is moving towards the football model, but just so far away from it, right? That's basically what we're trying to explain over here. And I mean, leagues, professionally run leagues have a proper, you know, structure. Over here, the fact that it's randomized to a degree where we don't even know what the next IPL will look like. And if you were a team owner and a good team owner, a team that's doing well, that's not incentivized for you, then it's inherently flawed. That's just the conclusion.
Yeah, I don't know who it incentivizes at the moment because the Sunrisers, KKR and I'm missing the other team and Rajasthan all built really good cores and it's been dismantled in ways like the fundamental style. I think Sunrisers managed to keep their team together, but what Rajasthan was doing has been dismantled and we'll have to start again.
Yep.
Right. And also KKR have had to invest in two really old injury prone players hoping that it stays together so they could fall apart as well. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Just the second part of Andy's question, he says, which will risk a reduction in parity. You can't have less parity than three teams winning basically all the titles in the history of the IPL, right? Yeah. We already have no parity. I didn't understand this question from Mahad as well.
Mahad Akram says, thoughts on Wasim's checking out of IPL comment. Yes, I know. And I mean, Mahad, you very well may be related to him because you share the same last name. Waz on commentary, you know, when they brought up the IPL, I can't remember in what context. I think Jake Fraser-McGurk, that's how it came up. So he was like, you know, I've checked out of the IPL and they were like, why? He said, because we're not welcome there. Waz did play a part in the IPL in years where Pakistani players weren't welcome there.
Did he coach or commentate?
Yeah, he did both, no? Coach, definitely. Yeah, so. KKR, right? Because definitely Pakistani coach, players were out second season onwards. So, I mean, sure, he can hold that opinion, but then he also did the opposite. I really don't know what he's on about, but I don't know. Maybe he just wanted to take
it. No, but I mean, I think it's also fair. I think at the start, my conversations were that people thought it would just change and it would just, you know, overcome.
True.
I mean, do you remember Lalit Modi's original comment was, there's just no good Pakistani players. And it's like, okay, settle down, champ. Maybe let people talk about cricket who know about cricket, Lalit. But I think there was a feeling amongst Pakistani players and in general around the IPL that this would pass. It obviously has not. If anything, it's got more stringent since
doubled
then.
Down.
So I can understand that. But you know, that's more than fine. The truth is that it's the biggest, the biggest sort of league in the world. But you don't actually. And there's a lot of people that like they still see it in cricket as this sort of, I'm for or against the IPL. You don't have to be for or against the IPL. Who the hell is for or against the SA20? It's just a thing that exists. You can follow it if you want to follow it or not follow it. It's more than fine to be either way. But we're so used to a cricket, drawing these weird battle lines. But the IPL is only going to get bigger. that doesn't mean that that is the only part of cricket that you have to like. And there are many people who are going to love cricket for the next 20 or 30 years who aren't going to pay much attention to the IPL, and that's okay. They don't have to.
I live in
England. There are so many county fans who don't give a shit about the England team.
Yeah. I mean, I get asked this question by Pakistanis all the time that, hey, Behram, why do you cover the IPL? I was like, well, there are multiple reasons. A, I love cricket. B, the IPL is huge. And C, I don't want to miss out on any knowledgeable information that I can pick up from the IPL because that's where the game is headed, right? But to their point, like if they want to completely boycott it because Pakistani players aren't welcome, I respect that as well. It's a fair argument. Yeah, so I don't think there's any problem with that. And Wasim Akram is a big enough star that if he wants to take a dig at the IPL on commentary, then I suppose he can.
Yeah, but also, you know, from his point of view, is that even taking a dig or is he just being honest? Being like, I don't follow it anymore. There's no Pakistani players there. I'm not going to get a gig anymore. You know, when you talk to ex-players, a lot of it is, am I going to be working in that league? No, if I'm not going to be working in that league, then I'm going to watch other stuff. And, you know, he's not in a position now where he's going to get work for the rest of his life. He'll be fine. He's doing okay. He doesn't need the money. So, he's probably more honest than maybe some other players who are still holding on for the hope of getting some commentary gigs into the future.
Yeah, that's actually a fair point as well. And he's not a salty man per se. Wasim Akram is funny in certain areas. Like he can contradict himself, but he's generally an honest guy. Also, like you asked me earlier who this benefits. Doesn't it benefit the broadcasters? Everyone will be watching the auction because it's a mega auction.
Do the mega auctions get more ratings than normal auction?
I would assume they would. Also, Super Devil is asking you if you can bet on the IPL auction.
I don't think you can, actually. And I don't think you should, because I think that would get dodgy very fast. But yeah. I love the question.
Insider trading.
look, the mega auction, if it gets more ratings, I think that's fine. But I think there's, as I said before, I think there are other ways of getting more people to pay more attention to the auction / draft / free agency than a mega auction would anyway. So it would have to be like four times as much viewership for it to really interest me. I like it from a cricket perspective, not from a league perspective, but from a cricket perspective, because it's the most interesting one because teams have to rebuild.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so the other ones are easier from a cricket writer perspective because I'm like, great, this team needs to do this, so they're going to look for these players. Whereas this one, it's just like Punjab's coming in, I'm like, they've got to get everybody, right? So it's more interesting from that point of view, but it's I don't know if I find it any more interesting than a normal auction, in other ways. Like, I'm not sure if I'm any more likely to watch it than I am a standard IPL auction.
Yeah, well, at least from a cricket correspondence perspective, it's sensory overload at times. Even the IPL itself, like three games in one day at times, right? Or there are many days with double headers and it's every single day. So it does get a bit overwhelming. I would love for it to be spread out and just have like each team plays once or twice every week. But anyway, that would require its own podcast, I suppose. All right, then that kind of wraps up our thoughts on IPL retention rules and their consequences. Let us know yours in the comment section below. That is it for this Uncovered podcast. Just a quick reminder, you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage. That can prove to be your one-stop shop for all the work that we do as part of this team, whether it be written content, videos, or podcasts. That's it for now. We'll see you soon enough. Have a good one, guys, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Behram Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make any content, Minvo Pro is the tool for you. Take your long format content and cut it and slice it for social media. This AI-inspired weapon will turn your one piece of work into so many clips. Try Minvo.pro now.